1 + 1 = 10,000, based on how marriage works. It's,
right.
Normally, you probably think it's 1 + 1 = 2, but it's definitely 10,000. How do you get to 10,000? I have no idea.
Marriage math. That marriage math.
Yes, yes. Marriage math. I like that. Hashtag that, bud, and put that on a t-shirt or something.
All right, mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, mic check, mic check. Welcome back to episode 3 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, alongside my buddy Dane Beasley. Dane, how are you doing on this wonderful day?
I am doing fantastic. I'm glad you asked. And you know what, man? I'm glad to be here with you, bro. I'm glad to be here with you at this time that we'll never see ever again.
Ever again, this moment right here is forever, but it's also just here at this moment. Nothing else matters.
Right here.
Never going to get it again.
Never going to get it again.
So we're back, and hopefully we can bring you guys a fun and eventful hour or so that you guys are spending with us. We appreciate you, whether you listen to us on Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, that is, Spotify. What else are we on? Google Podcasts now, Dane?
Yeah.
We're on Google Podcasts. And then also Stitcher, which honestly I have never used, but for people that are listening to us on Stitcher, we appreciate that too.
We appreciate y'all for rocking with us.
For real. It really means a lot. It really means a lot. But today, Dane, is a special day for you.
Oh, man.
What is today, my man?
Today, it's my anniversary. Today is the wedding anniversary of myself and my wife, who's in the room over watching some of you might know. She's watching some version of I think it's a Bad Girls Club or Loving Hip Hop. It's one of those type of shows. I don't know, but she's getting her dosage, her weekly dosage today while we're recording. But yeah, today's the day. So on this day in 2011, we tied that knot. We're married. We've been married.
Nice.
It's been a long road.
Been a long road.
That's a good thing, though. That's a good thing, though. Been a long road.
Well, happy anniversary, my guy.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
You know, I've always admired y'all because, you know, you guys have, from what I've seen and heard, you know, you've shown that strong foundation of, you know, how to make it, you know, in this world as a married couple to get through tough situations and lifting each other up and stuff like that. And coming from me, you know, I'm getting married next year and stuff. Whoop, whoop. And so you guys have, Yeah, turn up.
Yeah.
You guys have been a great example for me, you know, how to take on marriage at a young age. And and if you had like any advice you would want to give people that get married young and have some tips maybe for them, what would you say?
Man, well, first and foremost, I appreciate it. That says a lot coming from you, my great and honorable Deontay, the best man, Epps.
Yes, sir.
But any advice? Oh, man. Dude, really? I'll give, you know, I'm going to keep it short and simple. 3 pieces of advice. The first piece of advice, never stop dating your spouse. You know, the same thing that helped you get her, make sure you continue to keep doing that. So if, you know, if y'all thing was going on these long, extravagant, beautiful dates, then keep doing that. You know, make sure that you keep that a norm. Don't just throw that by the wayside just because, you know, she has the ring on her finger and in your last name. Second piece of advice, whatever foundation that you have, stick to it, man, whether it's faith-based or, you know, whatever works for you as far as keeping your everything centered on building that bond and or building and keeping that bond that you all have, and keep doing that. And then thirdly, which is most importantly, in every piece of advice you get is not good advice. And that includes the three, the two steps that I just included, or the two pieces of advice I just gave you. So just because someone gives you a marriage advice doesn't mean you have to take it. And what works for them might not work for you. There might be, they might be, whatever works in their first 5 years of marriage might not work within your first 5 years of marriage, or vice versa, you know? So any advice isn't good advice. So the three things I just told you, they might be horrible pieces of advice. And that's great. That's great, because it doesn't work for you. And that's perfectly fine. Just, I don't know, take it, throw it in a trash can. Don't ever listen to it. Let it go in one or other and keep it moving. But yeah, that's all I got. Sorry if that's not good enough for you, you people. You people, you're tuning in for a sports podcast, like, and here you're getting romance tips and stuff. I know. So.
Right. Which is, little did you know, the stuff in sports and stuff means, romance, love. You know, we can be versatile with
it. Yeah. Oh yeah. We're versed in these things.
Yeah, but
once long time ago, being hopeless romantics ourselves.
So. Facts. That is big facts. Both got lucky, man. Fortunate, blessed, and no, but that's great advice, bro. And
especially number three.
You know,
number three. Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Three. Don't listen to anything I said.
Don't listen to anything
two.
I said.
Nah. But no, I get it. Just make your own path, make your own way, and you know. Just try to, a lot of it is about figuring it out as you go, as far as, I mean, not marriage, because I'm not married, but you know, if you're with someone for a while and you're going to learn some things about them, and it's all about, you know, understanding who they are.
This is one plus one equals 10,000, basically how marriage works. Normally you probably think it's one plus one is two, but it's definitely 10,000. How do you get to 10,000? I have no idea.
Marriage math. Marriage math.
Yes. Marriage math. I like that. Hashtag that, bud, and put that on a t-shirt or something. make some money off of it.
Like one thing... Everything I say, go. Rule number one. No.
I can do all things. Baby, I just power up. Anything is possible. Yeah, yeah. I can do all things. Yeah. Baby, I just power up. Power up. Anything is possible. Hey. Yeah, yeah. I could do all things, yeah. I could do all things, yeah. Baby, I just power up, anything is possible, yeah. I could do all things.
Pain, standing in the rain with nobody. Mama disappointed, she don't know I'm finna make it. Grind, pray, stay out the way, but never complacent. A lot of people aiming for the crown, but I'ma take it. Walking through the shadow of death, I fear nothing. Same people hating on me, them my cousins. Crazy how this life is, that's why I had to write this. Could've been lifeless, thank God kept me righteous. Satan stabbed me in my chest, put my brother in a chair. Made my family run my name through the mud, boy, I swear. For real, never fake it, for real, I never fake it. Cause the truth come to light, I've been shining since yesterday.
I can do all things, yeah, I can do all things, yeah. Baby, I just power up, anything is possible, hey, yeah. I could do all things, yeah, I could do all things, yeah. Baby, I just power up, anything is possible, hey, yeah. I could do all things.
Blessed one, I brought my verse with me. Cause the flow make the Lord drop down and converse with me, oh. God's son, I'm feeling like God's son. How you gon' see me? You ever seen God's son? That's a blessing in disguise. Blessed across my forehead, I'm blessed to be alive. And Jesus bobbing his head up in heaven when I die. Cause my brothers almost died, and it really hurt my heart having to see my mama cry. See, I've been through the struggle, they was hoping I'd fall off. Prayer works and God knows.
number one on my call log. I don't take time out to be spiteful. See, but Jesus got betrayed by his disciples.
I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Baby, I just power up, anything is possible. Hey, yeah, yeah. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. Baby, I just power up, anything is possible. Hey, yeah, yeah. I can do all things.
Switch gears to, you know, the sports part of our podcast.
The heavy topics.
The heavy topics, you know. This past weekend, we know we had our bowl game, our championship weekend in college football.
Moment of silence. Moment of silence.
I know. Once again, my Baylor Bears, you know, fought hard as they could, man. And, you know, we went to the game in Arlington and, you know, down to the third string. And it's funny because, you know, you and I talked about the all Baylor's quarterbacks and they all ended up in the game. They all ended up in the game and somehow still almost pulled out the victory. But, you know, shout out to OU.
Yeah, they're balling, bro.
Their defense was clutch. Yeah, defense was clutch when they needed it most and got them a spot in the playoff. Got that four seed against those Tigers out of LSU. Man, that's gonna be a good one.
That's the clash of the Titans right there.
That's gonna be a big time matchup. Burrow versus that defense. You know, the Oklahoma defense, and I kind of just start here. Well, I guess we'll start here with this matchup.
Kenneth Murray, I had to say like that.
Yeah,
like, that man.
No, man.
I want to see that man in with the Cowboys star on his helmet, dude. Oh, like
I knew that was the next thing you're gonna say. Kenneth Murray, you know, he's that heart and soul of that Oklahoma defense.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
Yeah. He's everywhere. And they're going to have to, or he's going to have to be the guy to be the catalyst for that defense because Joe Burrow, quarterback LSU, is most likely going to win the Heisman this year.
He's got that bad boy.
He's playing his way to the first pick, you know, like it's getting serious like that. You know, everything he's done, you haven't seen an LSU quarterback do in forever. I've never seen LSU quarterback ball out like he has.
I don't think we've seen any quarterback be as consistent. I mean, it might be recency bias. Oh, well, kill me. But he's been consistent. He's been available in, I mean, there isn't anything that he can't do.
Right.
I mean.
He has, I'm looking at the stats, 4,700 yards passing, 48 touchdowns, 6 picks, man.
Yeah.
You know how crazy that is?
He's efficient, man. Like, I mean, you know, trying to ride the dude, and I'm unbiased as they come, but.
77.9 completion rate, that's just.
That's insane.
That's
godly. Like,
right.
I don't know. He's your most NFL ready quarterback. I mean,
I agree. One thing I will give to OU in the matchup is Jalen Hurts. Just because the fact that, you know, he played up and down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, more up than down, of course.
He's a gamer though, man.
But he's a gamer and he's been here before. He won a national title with Alabama, you know. So at the moment won't be too big for him. I mean, like you saw in the Big 12 championship when they needed a play, he made it. Whether it was running for a first down, making the crucial pass, and it most definitely starts and ends with Jalen Hurts for Oklahoma on the offensive side of the ball for sure. I feel like if they come out and, you know, get it to to CD get it to the guys that make plays for him.
Right.
I mean, this game could be closer than people think.
You know what I'm, you know what has me thinking, or what where my curiosity is with this matchup is, how is this? Because we know the LSU defense is capable of completely taking away, you know, your key threats on the opposing offense. But I'm just curious, like, with a player as dynamic as Jalen, how do you contain this lightning in a bottle of sorts? Because we've seen repeatedly, we've seen him over the last few years, just even when plays break down, the pass play breaks down, he's gone. He is gone. And that he's played against SEC speed before. He knows what that's like. So this isn't some new thing. How is he going to match up with that? We know he can play at the big dog. He's been there before, you know, when he was with Bama. So I don't know. This is going to be.
It's hard. It's going to be. I'm telling you, man. In my opinion, it's Jalen. It's going to start and end with him. If LSU can contain, I mean, we talked about it this year. The SEC, as far as even as a whole, the whole conference defense hasn't really been the staple. Back in years, SEC has been known for defense and low scoring games and hard hitting. That's kind of changed over the years. You know, you see high scoring 30s, 40 point games in SEC games.
Uncharacteristic.
And, you know, I think, right. It's more of a bend but don't break mentality for SEC defenses now. And, you know, they have elite players on the defensive side of the ball for LSU with Grant Delpit, Chaseon, those guys. But, I mean, they gave up how many to Texas in week one?
Yeah. I mean, and they would be considered a young team at that time of year, which is okay. Everybody, you know, but now?
Right, I agree.
Man, but you mentioned a few key guys on the LSU roster, and one guy in particular that I have my eyes set on, specifically for my own selfish reasons, to hoping that he's a Cowboy one day.
Is it a safety?
Is no one other. Well, I get to him too, but no one other than Christian Fulton.
Oh yeah, I didn't mention him.
Let me backtrack. I could see Chris, and I'm sorry for those listeners who hate the Cowboys. I hate them too sometimes, but I have to go on this imaginary I wish list for great, amazing players. This year, Christian Fulton will be great, but in years to come, he's probably one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NCAA. At the young age of 18, no one other than Derek Stingley Jr. I mean, with the exception of the Bama game, because those receivers, those starting receivers they're all NFL ready. With the exception of that game, that dude has been locked down, and his ball skills and instincts and all that in an 18-year-old body, like, it's unheard of.
That's something you don't see, man. Those guys,
especially that position.
It's like more and more each year you see freshmen ready to play, like, off the bat. Like, you
and
know,
balling.
Red shirt. Right.
Grown men.
Balling. Right. You see the guys, he's not ready. He's playing high school ball next year. But you see kids now, like, are built, like, high schoolers are built like NFL players. Like,
with linebacker next.
Right. Linebacker next.
Linebacker next.
Benching
so
like
position
three.
You play? Oh, I play slot. Dang.
For real, man. It's crazy.
My bad. I need to get you off topic there.
No, I was just going to say, yeah.
You said something earlier, though, too, that I want to go back to. You mentioned basically, these two powers, you know, this LSU defense and, of course, the OU offense. And that brought me back to one of the most quotable lines in all of
I think I know where you're going.
Superhero movie history, maybe even cinematic history. Take it to cinematic history.
I don't know where you're going.
I'm going with a line by no one other than the great, rest in peace, Heath Ledger, as Joker.
When okay.
He and Batman were, I guess you could say, at odds, and he through a dialogue, the Joker said, "This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object," and this is exactly that. Now, that's what when you said that, that's what that reminded me of, and I forgot to bring it up, and I just remembered, like, oh, bam. So yeah, RIP to Heath Ledger.
No. Good comparison. CD Lamb's gonna be a factor.
Dog, that's,
ooh, I'm telling you, bro.
Who was at the set at that day? That's DeAndre Hopkins, like, reincarnated.
I thought it was you. Somebody did.
Who said that day?
Maybe.
Well, I said it too, but I was quoting somebody from who we were talking the other night. I can't remember who was it that said it. I think it was either Mark.
Yeah.
Is it Deem that said it? I can't remember.
Because, yeah, we're online.
But I was just like, yeah, because they said it, and I was like, you know what? And I started thinking, I had, like, all these little flashback moments of DeAndre Hopkins, like, doing it in other teams and stuff. And then I was like, you know what? That does, after the catch, that is exactly who he's like.
Right. Seeing CeeDee Lamb up close, man. That dude, I wish the Broncos drafted him. We really could use a lineman, but I would not be mad if we got CeeDee Lamb, dude. Like, he will make the first man miss. I love that in an athlete. Yeah. Like, the first guy is not going to tackle.
Was that Coach Hawk used to always say that?
Yeah.
Just make the first guy miss.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shout out to Coach Hawk.
Man, making the first guy miss, it's like, he was like on skates, literally on skates.
Not to you know, reopen, you know, your healing wounds, but. Dog, I for certain thought he was going, and he had a flat route. He ran, or not a flat, he had a speed out. And people, a lot of people thought it was a lazy route, but that was just the intention to sell it as you know, not getting the ball. Yeah. And as soon as he gets the ball,
turn on the Jets,
80 yards down the field. Like, and he broke what I know you. I know you remember how many tackles he broke.
No telling, I lost count, man.
No, that was a sore spot. We can move on to the next matchup. No. I don't want to keep bringing up that OU team that beat you guys twice.
It's okay.
Strike that from the record if you like.
Yeah, I might cut that out. No, I'm playing. Then we got.
No, love you, dog.
Love you too, man. We got Ohio State and Clemson.
Whew.
Honestly, this. The top four teams are really good, and I think this matchup could have been a finals matchup. Like, you got the defending national champs, Clemson, feeling disrespected. Man. You know, we're ranked three. Their conference has been talked about is not very good, so they put them there. You got Ohio State with Justin Fields, mm-hmm. J.K. Dobbins. That defense is just insane. Chase Young coming off the edge. Like, how do you block him with one guy?
You don't.
That's what I was gonna say. You don't. You need two guys on that character at all times, and man. So
the worst thing about that, bro, is not the worst thing about it. The greatest thing about these two separate games, but the receiving core, if they're you mentioned, you know, you hope that the Broncos draft a lineman to help with that I'm mm-hmm. assuming you're referring to that horrible tackle. Excuse of a left
Man,
tackle.
Don't even say his name.
I ain't gonna say his name. Don't out of respect for him, I'm not gonna say his name. But one, if it's not the, you know, drafting an offensive lineman, that's not the, you know, flashy move. It's, you know, no, it's not, there's nothing glamorous about it. But based on these two matchups, if you want or need a wide receiver, Clemson's receiving core, LSU's receiving core.
Oh yeah,
there are starters, like legitimate, you know, 4 to 5 year franchise guys, exactly, on both of those rosters. Like, if you're looking for somebody with, and I know this isn't, you know, this is, man. T. Higgins.
Higgins. Dog. Well, he's only a He's a sophomore, right? Because they were talking about him last year. As a
he's a junior, if I'm not mistaken.
Junior. He is a junior.
I could be wrong. Let me double check before I get too excited. Because I've been looking at him. Right. But Justin Ross is a sophomore. And that dude is going to be, I would consider him pro ready. But he's going to be nice himself. But yeah, but my bad. I didn't mean to get off subject. But
nah, you good.
These receivers, dog, they're just.
They have been talking about it's one of the best receiving classes we'll deep, see in bro. A while. Yeah.
Straight ballers at every round you're going to get a bargain. But my bad. Back to the original topic. My bad. I'm getting us off course and stuff, man.
No, you're good. You're good. This just looks like a championship. Like it could be a
championship
game, and that's a semifinal. Who do you think has the edge in this one, man? I know it's
the Clemson and the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with I love the playmakers that Ohio State has. But I can't call this one, G. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. I can't call this one. And I know that's a cop out, just a right on the fence, but
yeah.
I think it's going to come down to if they can find a way to neutralize Chase Young, Clemson is going to be fine. They're going to walk away with this game. However, much like every other team, if they cannot find a way to slow him down, Chase Young is going to dominate this game, much like,
it seems like the last few games teams have been, at least
figuring it out how to get it done.
Getting the ball out quick. I noticed and
that's one thing they have in their favor because Trevor Lawrence is one of the smoothest releases in all of college football.
Right.
So I don't know, dude. But back to that, who wins this matchup? I don't know. I would lean towards Clemson, but my gut is like, you know what? If Ohio State can keep Clemson off the field, their offense off the field, that J.K. Dobbins, K.J. Hill, there's not much you can do to.
It's so even across the board.
Yeah,
you would think
it is. And I guess that's what makes it such a good matchup.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And so I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say since it's so even on both sides as far as athlete and talent, and I'm going to just go with the coach, who I think is the better coach, and the team that's been there before. So that's why I'm going to lean. I'm going to lean towards Clemson. This is not a – I don't think it'll be a popular pick. I think Clemson's going to beat them.
Okay.
I think it'll be close. I think it's going to come down to Clemson. And I just think about the last few years when Clemson, played Alabama those times in the championship game. And, they came clutch last year and then a couple years ago with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I know those guys are different. I mean, there's new guys in there, but Trevor Lawrence was there last year. Couple of other skilled players, T. Higgins. I just think I think it'll come down to experience.
Okay.
Not being too big in the moment. And so that's why I'm going to go with Clemson. I don't know what the score will be. I'll throw out a score. I'm going to go Clemson 27, Ohio State 24.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Right here. On the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. I didn't predict the first game, but if I were to predict the first one, I'm going to go LSU. Just because I see they both have talented. They have talent on both sides. I think LSU has a little more talent on the offensive side than Oklahoma does. So I'm going to go LSU. It's going to be high scoring too. I'm going to go 38-31. What you got?
Bro, I'm tripping. I'm thinking about – I'm sitting up here. I was actively listening to both of your predictions. I respect it. But you know what? I forgot about some of the other dogs on the Ohio State defense. I completely forgot. Completely forgot about. Yeah. Jeez, how did I? I don't. It's Okuda. If you're concerned about the pronunciation, it's Okuda. Jeffrey Okuda.
I was very concerned.
I got you. And one of the only reasons I know about how to say his name is because he's from Grand Prairie, which of course is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But he's one of those familiar names that a lot of people around here know who he is because of how he's a baller here. But now I don't even remember what I was saying. I'm tripping.
He's one of the top corners, you know, if you were to declare this year for the draft, because he's only a junior, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely probably number one ranked corner, if not top two or three.
Yeah, he'll probably be out of there after this year.
Oh, he's definitely out of there. He should be out of there. And then, of course, they have another. I guess you can consider him a slot/corner guy. He's not as highly coveted as Okuda, but Damon Arnett he's there. He's versatile. He can play your strong safety and your slot guy. So there's going to be decent matchups across the board, wide receiver versus cornerbacks for this game. So I'm going to go with my prediction. I'm going to go with Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go high scoring game or semi high scoring game, 35-27. Clemson's going to miss a field goal or a PAT. So
you said
35-27? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do that.
Okay, so what do you predict in the LSU-Oklahoma game?
I think it's going to be I think OU's going to come out strong in the first half, and the second half, LSU is going to shut it down. I would love to see an amazing shootout of sorts, but I think that game is going to be somewhere maybe a 2 or 3 possession favor in or a 2 or 3 possession game in LSU's favor. So I'm going to go with 28-14.
Ooh. 28-14. Only 14 points for Oklahoma?
Yeah. Oklahoma has a high powered offense, no doubt, but I don't know if it's sustainable versus this team. They've been on one, and they got their work cut out for them. But based on how they've been playing, I think they're going to get it together. And this is coming from somebody who wants Oklahoma to win. Based on the sheer awesomeness of CeeDee Lamb, or my obsession with his awesomeness because he's a talented wide receiver. But I will say, I'm going to say he's going to score both of those touchdowns. I'll say that.
I am not going to doubt that. That dude is insane.
Yeah,
he's insane.
He's a dog, man. That's what I got for those two games.
Okay, so of course we'll come back to those predictions because these games are on the 28th.
Yeah.
So we'll come back.
We'll
those
be on break
episodes. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna take a break. No, I'm playing. All right, Dane. So this year, it kind of worked out the way it should have, as far as the committee having to choose the four best teams.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work like that.
Nope.
So. I feel like the committee got
what you want.
Yeah, committee was probably in the room sweating those games on Saturday and was, hoping for some results so they wouldn't have to be working until like 8 in the morning trying to figure out who goes where. But, so if we could change how the playoff were announced, or not announced, but how the teams were selected. We'll kind of talk about that during this segment. So you started off. What do you think should be fixed, if anything?
My man, I'm glad you said this. And those who know where that comes from.
Yeah.
taking out a few words here there, but my man, I'm glad you said this. I think the best way to do it, and this is with all due respect to all the college the student athletes out there, we know that being a student athlete is hard work. But every student athlete that I know, every athlete that I knew wanted to be the best and were competitive, hella competitive. So the only way that I know that you can fix this thing is by expanding it. And the only way I think about expanding it is taking it to maybe an 18 playoff where you have five conference championships is your automatic five, right? And the remaining three The remaining three spots, there has to be some form of criteria that the committee comes up with to select those three teams, whether that be strength of schedule. How many weeks this team possibly spent ranked in the top 10, or how many weeks did this team spend in the top 15, or what wins are considered, what favorable wins do they have, that would, you know, justify them being in one of those top three teams. I think it'd have to be very, very, very open set of criteria, right? They have to be more transparent than they're being right now. Because right now,
leading seems up like to, stuff changes.
Yeah, every. Exactly. They're moving goalposts every time. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. But that's and this is coming from somebody who would prefer a similar playoff format as they have for the FCS. Right. Sam, you should stand up. So eight would be fine, because I think maybe 16 or 32, that might be a little too much as far as trying to, you know, consider making the playoff as important, or making the regular season as important as the playoffs. So maybe eight teams, that would be a start. What do you think? What do you think? How would you fix this? Fix it.
So to not say.
Take time, G.
Okay.
Let them use you.
So I just take your time, Pastor.
Take your time. Little kid up there at the top of the pew trying to remember the lines of the song. And give him the clap.
It's all right. It's okay, baby. It's all right.
Why is that so true? Oh my God.
I don't know.
All right. So I would go. Just to be different than you, I would go six. Add two more teams. Okay. Add two more teams. Top two teams get a bye.
Ooh.
So yes.
Okay.
The top two teams get a bye. Mm. You would still have your five conference champions and then your power five. That is six slot. So it really puts the emphasis on winning your conference, so you can't, you know, lollygag through the season. So it'll be different in the fact that the conference champions all won't be ranked 1 through 6. So some people may get upset about that, but hey, you didn't win your conference, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you want to put a heavy weight on winning your conference, the top five conference champions are in.
Okay.
The six be a power five team.
Ooh.
And you re-rank them, reseed them based on their ranking.
Okay.
So obviously whoever's ranked higher would get a better seed and would host. Actually, I don't think you should have a host.
Mm.
I'm trying to think about where the game should be played at.
It's probably just keep the – or if I may add in your selection process, maybe you just keep the same existing bowl games, so that way it stays on an even playing field somewhat.
Same way they host it.
That way the guys at the top don't lose any of their advertising money. Everybody can stay happy. Right. We know that's what it's all about.
Moolah. Yeah, it's all about the money. Not paying players. We're not going to go into that, though.
We're not going to go into that. That's a topic for another day, as we said last week.
Yeah.
The last episode of the podcast.
You said that last time.
Okay. But what happens in your grand scheme of things, in my grand scheme of things, if we have so many undefeated teams? Let's say, I don't know, back in, what was that, 2017? When UCF went undefeated and they were quote unquote the national champions as well. it played out a little different for them the following year, but how do we
So Central So Central Florida, they're in a group of five, so they would be that six.
Okay.
They have that six seed.
Okay.
In that scenario.
Okay.
But if you had like seven or eight, I don't think you would get eight or nine undefeated teams, because you know you're gonna be in the same conference unless there's two power fives that go undefeated.
Uh-huh.
Then that's when you break it down by scheduling,
strength
of schedule, teams they beat, that type of criteria. But
something that has to be transparent and available to everybody. Right. That way there's no conspiracy theorists and, you know, tinfoil do-rags, none of that. So, good.
Right. So I think top six, five conference championships, one power five. So,
okay.
We just fixed the playoff.
Yeah, we just fixed the playoff.
NFL news. We both had our own little sound for that.
Yeah.
Looks like we got Spygate 2.0 going on, Dane, with the Patriots.
Man, what the? Is this 2007?
Man, are we in a time warp? For those that don't know, I'll kind of give a rundown from CBS Sports article about what happened this week. So during week 14, the Patriots sent a video team to Cleveland to film, quote unquote, a documentary on an advanced scout
who
was at the game watching the Browns and Bengals play, with the Bengals set to play the Patriots in week 15.
Mm-hmm.
The online doc was part of a Do Your Job series that exists on the Patriots website.
Mm.
Previously, they profiled the dietitian, the training staff, and the video department.
Previously on
the
call.
Next job up.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
You're good. The next job up for documentation was apparently an advanced scout who was visiting the Browns-Bengals game to prepare a report for Belichick on the 1-11 Bengals. That's the funny part. The Bengals only won one game all year.
Yeah,
and like, they scout.
What are you doing?
So basically, there was a Bengals staffer that saw a guy with a Patriots credential filming the coaches for the Bengals, and he was like, "Hey, man, what you doing?
What's going on over here?"
Apparently, he had on a Boston Bruins jersey, which is like, "Bro, you just giving yourself up right there."
Yeah,
that was funny. But Patriots basically sent out a press release of their own on social media saying they take all full responsibility.
Damn right.
Basically saying this was a mistake, yada, yada, yada. And what I found interesting, Dane, Bill Belichick went on one of these radio shows and he was quote on saying, this is something we 100% have zero involvement with.
Mm-hmm.
which is a response I felt Bill Belichick would say, but I don't believe him, bro.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Color me shocked.
I it's like, come on, man, y'all. It's like one thing after another. You know, I'm being a realist here.
Let's
break it down. So we got this incident right here.
Right.
We got the previous Spygate incident. We got the Deflategate incident where they were accused of deflating footballs.
PSI.
The air wasn't filled up all the way.
Brady with the burner.
You know, and oh man, I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. The cell phone incident where Brady texts the who was it?
Having to do with that with Deflategate. But it was, I think it might have been with one of the team officials. It was something with the team officials, and I don't recall. It's kind of, I completely forgot about Deflategate until you brought it up. And then I was like, oh, yeah, the burner phone.
Yeah.
Because his suspension was based around the burner phone that he had.
And then even Robert Kraft's incident with, the massage, the massage parlor. So I don't know, man. They're the dynasty of this past decade, but this is not a good look for them. And
asterisk marks everywhere.
I'm interested to see how the commissioner is going to handle this. What do you think will come out of it? I think he'll. Go ahead. You go first.
No, go ahead.
I think he's going to do something. I don't know. I don't think he'll take a draft pick. I think he'll just find him.
Oh, you mean like the first time they find him, and then nothing, and they still haven't learned their lesson? They find him.
Yeah.
Was it $500,000 or find Bill? They find Bill $500,000, which is, of course, at the time was the largest fine that they could, or the largest fine imposed on, an official.
Yeah.
Or not an official. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that big. I just think it'll be like, hey, even though you weren't aware of this, this is still your team.
But
type it's of
but
fine.
That's nothing. And they fined the Patriots, of course, $250,000, and they docked them for the original first round selection for the 2008 draft.
I don't think they're gonna take the draft pick this time.
But man, they need to make an example of these dudes, man. They make an example at everybody else. Like you gotta make sure that you gotta go about this the right way. And the only way to send a message, think about it. The owner is a billionaire. Finding this dude $250,000 is nothing. Yeah. That's not even, I would say the equivalent would be me getting fined 75 cents. And that still wouldn't be a great comparison. I don't think people understand how much $1 billion, but that's a different story for a different day. Like, there needs to be some serious penalties here. Maybe you take a chunk out of their cap. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like the NCAA, they'll take away, a number of scholarships for the year or something like that. Or they impose they can't go to the playoffs for X amount of years, or they just something. It needs to be something like that, because this isn't the first time. This would be different if this was like breaking news, because this is the first time they've done something. But they've been in the news repeatedly.
Continuously.
For years. Trying to color outside the lines. And come on, man. This isn't the way that you play the game. It's the way it's not the way that it was intended to be played.
This is not how you do it.
No, not at all. But I don't know. They got to fix it. Because, this ain't
so
it.
So your prediction, what do you think happens?
Oh, then nothing. It's going to be a slap on the wrist. But if it was me...
Slap on the wrist or nothing? Like slap on the wrist.
Nothing's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. That's my guess, and I hope I'm terribly wrong. But if it were me, if it was commish Dane B, you're getting a nice little chunk of that salary cap is getting taken. That's going to be confiscated. That's going to my personal pocket. And I know that's not how it works, but. Maybe 10% or 15% of that salary cap for the following year, you'd have to forfeit. You wouldn't be able to, you'd have to work something else out. Something. It'd have to send a message to let everyone know we ain't standing for this. This wasn't right in 2007, and it's not right in 2019.
Yeah.
So, hell of a coach, but come on, man. Come on, dude.
We'll see what they do then.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think?
Oh, I think they'll find him. I think they will. I think it'll be probably like they'll find. I don't know if they'll do individuals or like I don't think they'll find Bill. I'll just go 250 on it.
250. Okay.
250
chump,
on it.
Chump change.
I put that little chump change, you know.
Me, gave me, face me, bait me, chase me, degrade me, and hate me. You cannot do none of the above. Yeah. To the condom, I will rise above because the white dove. Yeah. Yo, swag son of a glove. I said get repaid, and I'm sipping on Kool-Aid underneath the shade with a lemonade babe who loves KJ the great. Yeah. The feeling's semi-mutual. I'm going ham here in this ring. To Sokol, the musical, the cat in the snapback hat. Louis V knapsack look like a monogram jetpack. I'm so aristocrat. Your kindergarten swag, you so low class. And your girl is white, so I call you just Jack. Cause she has no ash. Catch them the way these girlies getting chose. Some girls think they're Amber Rose, but really they look like Rose. E-O Donald. Too rude, born with the bigger Mac game than McDonald's. And if you start beef, the words I speak is bon appetit. KJ the great, contrary to popular mixtape. Oops, my bad. Actually, take that back. I don't really care.
Yeah. It's verse 2.
Take me, cake me, face me, bait me, chase me, degrade me, and hate me. You cannot do none of these things. Hated the great, I'm in it for the championship rings. As it seems, I'm 20,000 leagues underneath the sea of league MVP. Yeah, I'm drowning in victory. Oh, that was a great win. Got turned into tiger blood. And even if I win by hair, y'all do say I'm refuzz. Some chick try to show me love, but I said nuh-uh. But if it was your girl, I'd say uh-huh, okay. Okay, now shut up, yeah. Dudes envy my get up. Sitting tall while y'all just sit up. Rebound ticks, this all you flip up. One punch pun, now you can't get up. Just give up. Live like you're in it for the forfeit. Forget the four door gun, he's a forklift. Starting job ain't in my torch list. Practice, man, you talking about practice? Even if I was in the warm-up suit all game, I am Adam Morrison T. LeBron James, man.
Yeah. I said I had Tony the Tiger blood, man.
Charlie Sheen winning with diabetes.
I mean, I don't have diabetes. Tony the Tiger, I must have diabetes. Adam Morrison too, you know?
But the connection. Take me, take me, face me, bait me, chase me, degrade me, and hate me. You cannot do none of these.
Yeah.
Again, I'm kicking the great. This is contrary to popular mixtape. Shout out to everybody who never tries to. Take me, face me, bait me, chase me, degrade me, and hate me. You cannot do none of these.
So what about what do you think about these trailers, man? We got two great trailers from two great cinematic universes. What do you got to say about this Black Widow and this thing, Wonder Woman 84?
Wonder Woman. I'll start with Black Widow first. I'm excited, of course. You know, it's the start of Phase 4 in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the events of Endgame, which technically Endgame was the end of Phase 3, but they threw Spider-Man in there for some reason. I enjoy Spider-Man, but to call Spider-Man the end of Phase 3 was kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
I think Endgame ended that. So, I always talk to you about my conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I did the research, which yeah. You said. I'll let you carry it. I'll let you go on with your tinfoil do-rag. Tell everybody.
Yeah. But before I get into my theory, I'll talk about the trailer. The movie in general, I'll just give a little premise. It's supposed to set between the events of Civil War and Infinity War.
Wow.
And if you look at the trailer, it shows Natasha Romanoff going back to Budapest. But it's showing a de-aged Thunderbolt Ross, like before, it looks like before even Incredible Hulk.
So maybe it's a flashback?
Probably a flashback. Yeah.
Back in the day. But young, not a kid anymore.
Right.
I wish I was a kid.
A lot of people are not interested in Black Widow because of her ending in Endgame, but I'm always excited to see whenever Marvel movies comes out. I know that they always try to tie it in somehow and like tie it to the past. And then what I always look forward to is what comes next and how they tie it to what comes in the future. And so with that, I'll go to my theory that I read. I will not take credit for it, but I kind of like the theory. And the theory was saying that Black Widow will introduce mutants. I sent this to Dane, and it was basic. And to make it more simple, it was in the trailer, the part where the prison door busts open is not the Red Guardian busting it out, but Ursa Major, actually, who is a MCU character, part of Red Guardian, like, what's the group?
It's the Russia's equivalent of the Avengers.
Of the Avengers, yeah. But he's like, he turns into a bear.
Not a regular bear, big old bear. Giant bear.
A big old black bear. Not a black bear, but there is a, the great bear. There is a, an actor on social media who on his Instagram, he Instagrammed this trailer.
Big old
guy. His name is...
Nah, that's somebody starting center, man. That dude is like 7'2", right?
Man.
Russian cat?
Let me see if I can find anything. His Instagram is The Dutch Giant, if you want to go to his Instagram page altogether. And he said, oh, yes, Marvel Black Widow trailer released in May 2020. Basically, he's talking about how this is his first movie. And then somebody mentioned that somebody commented, said, so are you playing Ursa Major, the first mutant in the MCU? And he replied, everyone is saying that. I don't understand why. Marvel IMDb, which is where everybody goes to find out information about a movie. So
identifying.
Muscular giant, right? So that's kind of like, he's not admitting to it, but I kind of think there's something there to it. So that's just my little prediction of what I read. So nothing too big, but what did you think about it?
I mean,
the trailer, that is.
I thought the trailer was cool. Like many other people, I was very confused when they announced it, because I just feel like based on the character herself, with her carrying just so much story behind her, kind of got shortchanged to be receiving this now. I feel like if we were going to get, I'm thankful that they're, giving the audience a closer look at Natasha Romanoff now, but this would have been much better, between, Iron Man or after Iron Man 2 and before Civil War. Like, that would have been great. But of course, they get paid millions and millions of dollars to write this stuff, to put it out at the right time, with the right storylines, with the right people. So obviously they know what they're doing. The MCU has a great track record, but it still makes you wonder, geez, what's the timing of all this? Like, was it a rush job?
And what I think is I feel like every time they do something is for a reason. And that's why I feel like this movie is going to have to, and I think Kevin Feige said that it's like for this movie to be put here in starting off phase four, and we know the different movies that's coming after, it has to serve a purpose to what's coming next. So that's what makes me a little more excited for it, excited about it. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be the equivalent of, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. Don't quote me on this either, even though I'm saying it.
Okay.
Maybe this might be the equivalent of what Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man was to the entire MCU for setting up like all these
kicking
phases.
Off something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's something like that. But
I mean, you could say that because that started off the Infinity Saga. Yeah. And, you know, the Infinity Saga ended with Endgame. So,
yeah. Maybe that is what it is.
This could be the start of something.
Who knows? Who knows? We'll just have to find out.
No. Yeah. But the other female superhero over on DC side, Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer came out. And I am honestly, I'll be honest, I am not as familiar with the DC villains as well as I am with Marvel's. Mm-hmm. So I had to do a little bit of research. But from what I got from the trailer, like the trailer reminded me straight up of Thor Ragnarok, mm-hmm. just because the different colors and soundtrack. Yeah. Unique and I love Thor Ragnarok. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
It's great, great, great decade for rock and roll. I'll say that.
Yeah. But,
as a 91
bit. I like how it showed, Diana, you know, kind of more in the sense of it's more of her personal, like, because the last Wonder Woman movie, and it was more about her figuring out how to live in a world that she was not familiar
navigate
with.
The waters of two worlds.
Yeah.
Two worlds, right?
Right. So this one, I feel like she looks more confident in that, and the action.
She's got some skins on the wall. Good.
Yeah. So, in general, I think this movie is going to be dope. The trailer really doesn't tell you much about what's going on, which I like. But it still got me pumped with the action sequences that they showed. So,
yeah, I'm just curious how they're going to rationalize bringing Chris Pine's character back, and Chris Pine's character is Steve Trevor. I'm just curious how they're going, what type of rationale they're going to give for. The last time we seen this dude, he was up in the sky, you know, in a blimp, exploding,
right,
millions of pieces.
It's on either, fire. From what I saw, I don't know, man. It's weird. I'm thinking maybe she's hallucinating, or it's
maybe
part of
playing a trick.
I don't know, playing a trick on her or something like that. But another thing I'm interested in is the DCEU a thing, like? Is it going to be continuity between the movies? Because we know Ben Affleck's gone, and now they got Robert Pattinson. Is she now, like, is Wonder Woman going to connect to a new Batman?
Maybe they'll try to bring in a Flashpoint. Well, that might be a little bit too much for some folks, but maybe
to reset it.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
it might be a Flashpoint.
Maybe, man. I would be fine with that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just so used to movies connecting.
They connect.
I'm a
they
bad
connect.
Habit of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just everything has to connect for me now.
I felt the same way with Ed Norton's Hulk and Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. Like, I was like, what? No, this can't. I don't like this because it has to be the same dude.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same way people felt. Because this is the inverse of that. I was about to bring up old Aunt Viv and new Aunt Viv. It's sort of
Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I guess the best equivalent would probably be come back to me on that one. Matter of fact, never mind, scrap that. I don't know what the equivalent would be, but it's just weird trying to I don't know. The recast, I don't know, it's just
even with your boy
Terrence Howard,
War Machine.
Terrence Howard. I was looking forward to, to seeing Iron Man.
Yeah. Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Man.
Tony Man, what you doing, man? Man, I couldn't even picture him. I can't even picture him being War Machine now.
Right. That's Don Cheadle's baby, man.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle the goat.
For real.
How do we get to this See, I just get us off topic. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody.
We were just talking about continuity and how the DCEU, if this movie's going to be a part of the DC, like, is if the DCEU is still a thing.
I think so. I would hope so. Have you seen Shazam?
No, I have not seen
it. It was pretty good. I liked it. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I need to go see that.
And that ties into the DCEU as well. And it has a good payoff at the end.
Right. And I need to see, or not need to see, but, and they're coming out with Black Adam.
Yeah, with Dwayne. Dwayne Act Johnson.
Look, Dwayne, I'm in everything. The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, that's true. Tired of Dwayne, man, being in everything. Playing the same role in everything. But, I mean, you know, if the check keeps cashing, let me stop hating.
The check clears.
Yep.
No, man, but...
Is that everything?
I think that's everything. We wiped through it quick. We appreciate everyone tuning in to another episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you lending your ears and laughing at us and showing us support and love on social media as well.
For sure.
If you don't know, we have a Twitter page for our podcast.
Yeah, so give us a follow.
The Duo. Yes, follow us. It is the Duo at the Duo SNS. And then you can follow me, Deontay, on Twitter and Instagram at DEPS, Right Steps. So that's DEPPS, opposite of left, steps.
Wow.
And then Dane, you are at Dane BTX, right?
Yes, and the TX stands for Texas, for those who don't know, because that's where I stay, Texas.
Texas.
You can find me on Twitter. That's it. Dane B, TX, DANE, the letter B, TX. TX is an abbreviation or an abbreve. That's an abbreve for
a brief.
Yeah, abbreve is an abbreviation for a brief. Or abbreviation is a brief. Yeah. You get it. You get it. Dane B, TX, follow me or not follow me. Feedback is welcome too. We've gotten a lot of good feedback.
Yes.
And that's the most important thing. As we say at work all the time, any feedback is good feedback, even if it's bad
feedback.
It helps us, you know, make this run a little bit smoother, and the quality hopefully continues to go up, and we are much better at this each time. So
as soon as y'all start paying us, right?
Wait, we getting paid? No, I'm kidding, man. This is for the free 99.
For the free.
Yeah, cut that part out.
I sang that.
Yeah, we see. Go ahead and edit that part out.
Oh man. But we enjoy doing this, guys.
Yeah.
And we'll catch y'all on the next one.
All right, y'all take it easy. Have a good one. Make sure you wash behind your ears.
With a washcloth.
The washcloth.